Well, the God of heaven has already been coming down since the men's glee club kicked us off this morning. We've already had church. I think we can just all leave together and go find where Josh is. Eli and band, thank you for leading us in great singing and just this time to be together. I want to say again, welcome to our visitors. Welcome to the most unique time of the week for Asbury College. Our worship together here three times a week is what makes us who we are. And we really hope that you're experiencing that this morning. Zealous class, are you guys awake? All right. How many of you remember your visit weekend? Or your visit, whenever it was? Yeah? Can you believe it was just a year ago or 2 years ago? How about consecrated class? Now, I know you've got to stretch back a little bit farther. 4 years, 5 years. I won't ask who has to go farther than that. You guys are awake, and you know that May 9th is coming quickly. Can you remember your visit week? Can you remember that? Can you believe who that person was 4 or 5 years ago? Are you a different person, transformed from who showed up 4 or 5 years ago to visit? Visitors, as you're here today, I want you to know that you've been prayed for. And you've been prayed for way before you came here. I've sat in the room and listened to the many people that have prayed for you. So what is going on in your life right now, the decisions that you're facing in the next few months, you've been prayed for a long time. It's April 17th. 5 days ago was Easter. Do y'all know the number of days till final exam? 17 days till finals. Yeah, it's coming. Y'all can cheer for that. Someone told me that you guys are kind of checked out between Easter and finals. So if that's the case, I just thought I would suggest that we cancel classes for the next 2 weeks. That's all I know. That's why they don't give me that kind of authority. Spiritual authority is something different. So different than remembering your visit week, I want to ask you this morning, do you remember Easter? Not just the fact that it was 5 days ago and where you were, but I want us to ask, are we connected to the resurrection? Because this little zone that we're in between Easter and finals, it kind of resembles a place that we live often. And we experience the resurrection, and then we kind of move on to the next thing that's getting our attention. And we end up living in this checked out space. Now, let's see if I can describe it a little bit. We stake our lives on the resurrection and say, this is who I am. I'm staking all of who I am on what Jesus did on the cross for me and his death and his resurrection. And then we kind of move forward from there and we get to this place where we're just fixed on the next task in front of us. I get my energy fixed towards the semester being over. Get so focused on the end that somehow the beauty of the journey diminishes. Seniors, I just want to encourage you to eat up every day between now and May 9th. Soak up and absorb every day. Easter just happened 5 days ago, but we're already on to the next most important task. There's a paper to write. So how do we live in this tension of what we stake our lives upon, and yet the responsibilities are in front of us. Did Jesus only come to get us to the finish line? Or did he also come in order that we may have life and have it more abundantly? Did he come so that we could be swallowed up by the next goal? Or did he come so that we could be swallowed up by the resurrection? And so I want us to chew on this in a little more deep way and ask, what are some of these distractions that keep us from living in the resurrection? What are the distractions that take us another direction? Fear of abandonment, failed expectations, consumed by complaining. I just want to talk about these for a few minutes. But you know, first, I have to start with a story about the two Hasselhoff girls. Ellie Kay is going into kindergarten next year. Molly is 20 months old, a charm. One of the biggest events of any day is bedtime. And we pull out some books. We're kind of into things right now, like I'm a little teapot. Click, clack, moo. There's a classic. Minosaur. It's about this possessive little dinosaur. So Ellie and I will get through reading it, and Molly will just kind of sneak up and grab it and jump off the bed and go, mine, mine, mine. She's the epitome of the book. There's 100 different possibilities of what all can happen after that, but typically we finish reading those, we read a devotion, say a prayer, kiss night-night, and then Ellie gets up about five times. Comes downstairs to mommy and daddy's bedroom or to the computer room. 2 weeks ago, I heard her coming downstairs and went out there, and this is what Ellie said. Daddy, aren't you supposed to be with us? We're scared. Her sister's already crashed out, but I guess she was still speaking for her anyway. And besides that being really cute, I was in bed falling asleep, and those words just wouldn't go away. Daddy, aren't you supposed to be with us? We're scared. And you know, we don't use those words anymore. But I thought how much of the essence of what she said still sneaks in to where we are. And those words took me to a couple of feelings that I've had this year. Father, aren't you supposed to be with me? I'm not feeling like I have it all together, and I'm feeling like if you were present, my heart would be more settled. You know, in a year of transition, friendship takes a little bit more work. Some of you have experienced that. You say, God, if you were more present, financial stress would not be an issue. Surely communication wouldn't be difficult with the people I love the most if you were more present. Have some of you been there? Have you felt the essence of those words as loneliness was creeping somewhere in your life this year? Daddy, aren't you supposed to be with me? And if you were, I would not be experiencing anxiety. Then this relationship that should be working out would be going differently. Father God, aren't you supposed to have been with me? Then why is my college career not ending the way that I'd imagined? Jesus, if you were with me, why don't I have a summer job yet? Why don't I have a full-time job yet? All these thoughts relate back to the fear that we've been left alone, to the fear that we've been abandoned. Molly doesn't have that fear. She makes noise in the back. There's a art exhibit that Mike Gilger has for his senior project up on the top of the administration building. Not literally on the top, but in the dark recesses. And this profound exhibit presents some bathroom stalls as a place to write confessions. And many of you have been there and taken advantage of that to write confessions there in an exhibit that's very public and yet a place to be very raw and honest. And so from that public exhibit, I pulled a confession that somebody wrote. I'm so afraid every day. I want to go away and forget anything that has happened. I constantly doubt God and his love and the idea of a plan for me. Abandonment. It tells us that we're physically and emotionally and spiritually isolated. That's what abandonment does to us. Most nights when Ellie comes down to our room, Mommy or I just send her back to her bed. But that night when she came down and said, "Daddy, aren't you supposed to be with us?" I went and grabbed a book. I followed her back upstairs. She laid in bed. I sat in the seat across from her, looking at her as she fell asleep, closed her eyes. And I stayed there until she was absolutely convinced that Daddy was with her and wasn't going anywhere. And it's Hebrews 13:5 that says words we need to hear deep within our soul. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Words that are echoed from Deuteronomy 31. The first distraction of the resurrection is the fear of abandonment. The truth of God tells us something very different, that he will never leave us or forsake us. The second distraction to us living in the resurrection is failed expectations. I was driving Ellie to school just a few days ago, and I was coming by the college, and I looked over, and a lot of people were getting in a van. I saw Dr. Ike Adams, and I thought, well, there's a field trip, man. They're getting to go somewhere today. And I had this flashback to a field trip I took at Texas Tech. And I really don't know why I flashed back to this particular field trip. The class was a class called Swine Production. Did I tell you my major was animal business? So that's what we did for animal business. We went on field trips like that. We're going to Kansas to see a pig farm. And if you're still laughing at that animal business major, when I turned in my resume to work here at Asbury College, they said, "Animal business, you're perfectly qualified." They really said specifically with Johnson Hall, but... Someone came along that was more qualified for me than that. I'm stuttering through that one. That field trip, though, took me through this little journey. And I remembered that field trip that I got back late to campus. And there was a fraternity meeting that I was a part of that night. And a month before that, I decided that I was running for an office in the fraternity. And it became such a big deal that I even postponed graduation a semester so that I could serve in that role. And I walked in, and they had just finished voting. And I found out that I was defeated by one vote to be the president of the fraternity. And all of a sudden, a great semester felt like it had just flatlined with this major expectation being shattered. Have you experienced that somewhere this year? In the confessions on the bathroom stalls, there's one that says, I thought my mistakes meant that it was over. My life and my calling. And Easter was just 5 days ago. It is not over. That semester after I failed to be elected president, I got rolling into the next semester. And when I would have been consumed by all those responsibilities and all those that extra work, all of a sudden I was free to go on this mission trip over spring break. And it was the first mission trip I'd ever been on. And what's a little more ironic is it was on that mission trip, my last year of school, that I met Jesus and surrendered my life to Jesus. And when I look back on God's timing through that, I think of Romans 8:28, and those words are almost too familiar to us. And so the best translation that always comes back to me from Romans 8:28 is the reality that God's not the author of all things, but he's the master of everything. He is the master of all things. And there's no circumstance or situation or disaster in our lives that he can't enter into and become the master over. Failed expectations are a second distraction. And a third distraction for us living in the resurrection is the distraction of being consumed by complaining. It's probably linked to these other two, to the fear of abandonment, to failed expectations, that when we don't come to Jesus over these, we end up turning more to complaining through those things. But it's in Philippians 2, verse 14, as Paul talks about working out our salvation, one of those ways that he says we work it out, do everything without complaining or arguing. My family was adjusting to a big transition this year. It meant that there was much that was unpredictable, that both family life and ministry here on campus had pieces that sometimes we didn't expect till they popped up. And I was often in situations that were uncomfortable. And when that happens, for me, I found there to be moments that I was complaining. And I confess that. On the bathroom stalls, there's a confession that says, I may smile, but chances are I've said something about you that I'm not proud of. Our complaining really snowballs very easy to the place that our complaints are direct judgments on people that we love. And what gets that snowball going, more than just not getting my way or having a different preference than some others have, is it just being cynical that gets that snowball going? We seem to fall more easily into complaining when we don't have space in our lives to meet with Jesus. When we don't have Sabbath in our lives, something one day out of seven a week, and those other 6 days where we need that kind of quiet space. And I'll tell you what got me to thinking about our deep need for that. I was on spring break for a couple of days in Chicago, and woke up one Sunday morning, and took a jog. We were staying close enough to Lake Michigan that about half my jog was just kind of down the beachfront looking across Lake Michigan. And it turned into a great time to pray. And as I was jogging and praying, not trying to just get brownie points here, but for some reason I was, Dr. Gray and Dr. Troyer, I was praying for them, and it's probably because those are two people that I go to a great deal and seek their counsel and work things out with them. And I kind of finished that focused time of praying and was still jogging, and I thought, how long has it been since I prayed for the people that I care most deeply about, that are carrying big responsibilities around us? And prayer is something that is so opposite of complaining. Philippians 2, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. And isn't that what we're longing for? Not just that our complaints are set aside and dropped and released, but that our fear of abandonment, that our failed expectations can also be set down there at the cross, and that we would be consumed by the resurrection, and that we would hear those words of becoming blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. And so I just close with that question of how do we move past the distractions to really live in the resurrection. Romans 8:11 says this, and if the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, to the mortal bodies where fear of abandonment and failed expectations and complaining try to rise up. Instead, in your mortal bodies can come the very one who is resurrected. And the spirit who resurrected him can live there in our mortal bodies. Ask the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead to live in your mortal body. Let's pray. Father, as the end of a semester comes so close, we pray not just for strength to make it through these last weeks. God, we pray for something greater, that your Holy Spirit would come in and empower us to live in your resurrection today. Lord, we pray that it may be by your Spirit that the distractions that go on within us would be overcome by the one who is greater. And so, Lord, we yield ourselves to you this morning. And we go forth from this place asking for your Holy Spirit to consume us, that we may live in the footsteps of the one who has been resurrected. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus that we pray these things together. Amen. You're dismissed.